Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you there. Well, while you're here, I wanted to let you know that today's show is brought to you by the extremely kind donations by our donors over at Patreon. Andrew, why don't you tell us a little bit about Patreon?
Well, Patreon is a site you can go to if you'd like to donate to us and get a little bit of extra content. We have after parties for some episodes. We have full commentaries that we release.
We just did one on High School Musical.
Oh, yeah, and that was an absolute classic. Our commentary was pretty funny, I think, but
I thought we did a pretty good job. It's a jungle out here.
It's a jungle in here. Why don't you run through our current patrons, Jess?
Well, our current patrons are Stephanie L, Terry Diedelman, Max Lunig, Benjamin Lear, Lily Ackles, Mackenzie Horner, John Donna, Taryn the Duck, Melissa Goldman, Jess Lightning, Ewan Cassidy, Haley McDonald, Tess Geer, Cal McLeod, Mina Maniri, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, Haley Murray, Alice in Wonderland, B-Way Flicks, Michael Johan, Nathaniel Stacy Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Uregel Duvray Witter, William Want, and Carrie Arem. And just a shout out to Lily Ackles, who increased her amount that she donates to us. You're the best, Lily. We love you. But all these folks give us a little extra financial support that helps us keep the lights on here at Musicals with Cheese. If you'd like to join them and get a bunch of fun crap, come join us over at Patreon. All right, Andrew, are you ready to get the show started for Rizzle?
Oh, yes.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater. How are you doing today, Andrew?
I'm doing quite well. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say,
I'm doing quite well.
Oh, why'd you do it in that voice?
I'm a girl now.
You need to add the southern accent.
I can't do a southern accent.
Well, what should I call you then?
Call me Andrew. But, like, that's my last name, though. I'm now...
DeWolf Andrews.
DeWolf Andrews.
Well, that's such a pretty name, Miss DeWolf Andrews.
Thank you.
I want to see how long we can get you to do it like this.
I think we might be falling in love.
Oh no. Well, I'm a girl. I'm a girl, too.
That doesn't happen in the show.
Well, here it is, because the two girls fall in love, and it's really weird.
Shut up, Jess. We're doing Tootsie.
We're Tootsieing it up.
Tootsie rap.
We're doing Tootsie, guys.
We're doing Tootsie. I won't let you down. Whatever you want me to be, you give me your trust. I give you my word. I won't let you down. Nobody sees me and nobody listens and nobody cares. Love and devotion that needs to be shared. Pick it up! I won't let you down. That's good. Thank you. Because you believe in me. Because you're the one who can see. I'm here and alive. I won't let you down. Cause when I felt empty inside. Tootsie is a musical comedy with music and lyrics by David Yazbek and a book by Robert Horn. The musical is based on the 1982 American comedy film of the same name, written by Larry Gelbart and Barry Levinson, and a bunch of other people. The musical made its world premiere at the Cadillac Palace Theater in Chicago in September of 2018. Like the film, the musical tells the story of a talented actor that's also volatile, whose reputation for being difficult forces him to adopt a new identity as a woman in order to land a job. The original movie revolved around a daytime soap opera, while the show involves
What would you guess, Andrew? A Broadway musical.
I mean, I don't have to guess. I've seen it. But yes, Broadway musicals.
I mean.
A Broadway show about Broadway? It's never been done.
Never. I'm very glad that in this description that you wrote out, we left out the horrible lead actor of the original film, Tootsie.
Who is
good
it?
On you. He doesn't exist, so it doesn't matter.
Now I need to know. Who is it? I've never...
He's a bad man who doesn't exist. Either way, Andrew, you just watched Tootsie.
Yeah, like 5 minutes ago I finished.
Oh, yeah. Well, what did you think? What is your first thoughts? Because this is fresh. This is fresh thoughts from Andrew.
Well, the only way to describe Tootsie is as an absolute hoot. It is hilarious. So funny.
I was rolling on the ground laughing.
Rolling.
And like, I go outside and walk out the theater and there's posters of white people laughing.
I was raffling the whole time.
I'm going to go on Twitter to say this.
What an absolute hoot.
It's a hoot.
That's the only word I could think of when watching it. Is like, there's probably critics out there that are describing this as a hoot.
It got pretty decent critical acclaim is the thing.
I didn't find almost any of the jokes funny. There's very, very few of them that were kind of like, oh, I guess that's okay.
I found it chuckle-worthy at best.
Yeah, and then, like, there's a lot of jokes that just fell totally flat, and it was just like, wah.
And then the audience, ah!
It's just like, I'm waiting for the sad trombone to play. Womp, womp.
Andrew, I gave a really, like, basic description of the plot. Please, in your best Andrew DeWolf way, tell us what happens in Tootsie the Musical.
All right, so the guy who's, like, wondering why he can't get work because he is an actor that just goes on set and tries to direct the show he's in, essentially. Which I assume, I don't do acting work, but I'm pretty sure that's not what you're supposed to do as an actor.
I mean, some people do it. It's like a diva ship.
Yeah, well, if you're like a small-time actor looking for work, it's probably the best way to guarantee that
you're
never
like
get it.
You're like working in the ensemble, yeah, fuck that.
Probably the best way to guarantee you're never going to get a job. And so he's like told about this other show that his friend that is a girl, not his girlfriend.
That's impossible. Haven't seen When Harry Met Sally, girls who can't be friends with men.
It's not
true.
Yeah, it's true. You're absolutely
definitely
correct.
Can't.
You're absolutely correct.
It's a weird thesis that film makes.
It's a true thesis that I'm making right now that you can't be friends with girls. Because
we gotta no girls allowed sign.
They have cooties and my no girls allowed sign is no more.
No more girls.
Don't let the cooties in. But yeah, his friend that is a girl is also an actress, and she's telling him about this role, and he's like, I could get that role if I just put on a wig and a girl suit. And so he does that, and then the whole rest is that he becomes super popular and he wins an award. Is that like he actually wins an award right at the end, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's nonsense. No one can tell that it's a man in drag. I mean,
they didn't even do that great a job of the makeup. Like, say what you will about Miss Doubtfire, that's pretty convincing. Like, that kind of, I would buy that as an older woman.
Yeah, like, maybe. Although, I'd say if you're in close proximity with someone for that long, you're going to start noticing certain things. And it's
you
gonna
make
be like,
out with him, like, you're going to feel some stubble.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that it would be so believable that they would be able to do this, but okay. It's a story. It's funny.
Is it funny?
It's an absolute hoot. you can put that on the poster if you want. Just write my name. An absolute hoot.
No, this show got canned. No one went to fucking see it. Everyone started going to Beetlejuice because that actually made people laugh.
I mean, that was actually funny. This is
exactly.
This is like no edge at all.
Can I tell you what happened with this musical? And I think it's so fucking hilarious.
I didn't
like,
finish
the
with
funniest
the plot yet.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay, keep going with the plot.
So when she he goes as Dorothy to the new play or musical, I guess it's a musical. He just changes the entire story, and the director, I guess, is okay with it because I don't know why.
The producer liked it.
The producer liked it, I guess, yeah. It's a version of Romeo and Juliet, and they're going to have it end where Romeo falls in love with the nurse?
I mean, I'd watch it.
I mean, I wouldn't be caught dead watching any version of Romeo and Juliet. That shit is a snooze fest.
You wouldn't be caught dead seeing a musical.
That shit is a snooze fest. Shakespeare is garbage, and his writing is bland and boring.
God, he hates Shakespeare.
You know, I really hate Shakespeare. Even that was funnier than this. By, like, a lot.
Keep going. There's still more plot to go.
Okay, and then he falls in love with, what was her name? Julie? Is it Julie?
Something like that.
Which is the person playing Juliet. And then the whole rest of the story is just, like, one of those, like, oh, I'm caught in a big lie. How do I cover up this lie? Oh, my goodness. How do I continue to lie? I'll just tell more lies, and then that will cover the lies. And I hate this type of story, and it's the worst thing ever. And I just, like, just stop fucking lying, okay? You know? You know, you just want to have it end, and they don't lie anymore. And of course, they never get their comeuppance, really. It's just like, all the lies come out, and everyone hates him for, like, one scene, and then he goes around and fixes everything, and now it's okay. It's like,
so is this like Dear Evan Hansen played as a comedy?
It's the same type of story where it's like, oh, I'm caught in all these lies. What do I do? Oh, I just tell more lies and then that will fix it.
Doesn't it have the basic ending of Dear Evan Hansen where it was just like they needed a park bench and she's like, I don't know if I can forgive you. And he's like, I can try to be better.
And then like instantly it's like, oh, I guess. Okay.
Then a reprise of a song and the show ends.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, there's a lot of stories that are this story, and I think they kind of all suck in their own ways. So this one kind of sucks because it's written like a freaking sitcom. It's like an episode of Friends, but played for 3 hours.
Was it really 3 hours?
It's 2.5 hours.
That's too damn long for a show like this.
Yeah, like, if this was maybe 2 hours exactly, or a little shorter even, maybe I could tolerate it, but it's like a romantic comedy, or like a sitcom.
But it's not even a good romantic comedy is the thing. You don't buy the romance between him and Julie. Not at all, not a bit.
No, and it's just so, I don't know. It's so absurd and ridiculous. It's like, this, I don't think this could ever happen in real life.
And I know you're going to say that this is like me projecting and me using a phrase that I know you hate and I kind of hate, but this is like the boomer's boomer musical. Like, classic tropes and storytelling and about a guy that's in too deep over his head. How is he going to get out?
Oh, I mean, yeah, and they even tell like the boomer style jokes. Where there's like, oh, I hate my husband. Oh my goodness, there's nothing I hate more than my husband. I wish he was dead. It's like, okay, cool. That's like a total boomer joke, and I don't think anyone younger than like 50 would laugh at that.
I don't think that anyone under like 50 would enjoy this show.
No. Which is why I kept thinking of the word the whole time. I was just like, someone describes this as a hoot. Because nobody under 50 has ever said the word hoot.
You just did.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying it disingenuously, I suppose, or sarcastically.
Facetiously?
Facetiously? I can't say that word. My goodness,
Jess.
I don't know
how to say words, Jess. Jess, words are hard.
People just give me money to talk, and I can't do that.
Can I tell you what's funny about this musical and the production of it?
Okay, now that we've gone over the whole plot, yes, you can.
Yeah, it ends, he tells the truth, and everyone forgives him for some reason.
He tells the truth on, like, live television on a stage at the Tonys, I think is what is implied.
I think it was, like, opening night or something.
It's something ridiculous.
Something ridiculous where it was like, why'd you do this?
Yeah, it's like, why would you do that then? Maybe just tell your, you know, close people first, and then
like individualized, like you don't have to make it a big thing, you know?
Yeah, it's like you making it a big thing makes it even worse, because now it looks like it was like a publicity stunt or something like that.
A little bit. But this show was, they had such hubris behind this show, honestly.
Go on.
Because
what do you got?
It opened the... Remember when we did the Tonys and I was very drunk?
I do remember that.
That was the same Tony year that this played, more or less. And they were so convinced that this show was going to be, like, the next Book of Mormon.
It was going to... Sweet. Well, you know what the difference between this and Book of Mormon is? Book of Mormon what? is like a spicy chili, you know? It's like, there is so much, like, edge and humor in that. And then this is like a piece of white toast that someone put butter on. It's like, there's nothing edgy about this. There's nothing funny about this.
It's not even like that, because you have your point, which is like white toast that's barely been put into the toaster. but that when they pull it out, like there was some leftover diarrhea spilling inside the toaster. So like there's just diarrhea spread throughout it.
Well, I mean, you've already mentioned that the movie has like a little bit of controversy because of like, well, I mean, the subject matter here is not exactly modern day friendly, I wouldn't say.
No, and nor is it a good joke. And it basically implies that women have a much grander opportunity to get roles than men, which is a weird...
The funny thing is that they try to play up, like, the fact that they're woke or whatever in this.
They're pretend woke.
They're pretend woke. So they're like, oh, man, the pay gap, and then the audience goes crazy or whatever. And it's like, yeah, but if you look at the plot of this, it's implying that it's easier for women. Because this man couldn't get work, and then he dresses as a woman, and now it's easier. So, are you woke, or are you not woke?
Like, you know what it feels like? It feels like some guy, like some Todd Phillips motherfucker, wrote this first, like, couple drafts of the musical. Then he let his female friend read it over, and she's like, I don't know how to help. Maybe mention the pay gap or something?
Make it woke, so people don't... roast you on Twitter.
Like, that is honestly one of the things that did happen with this musical. Because it is, the entire creative team is all guys. David Yazbek, Robert Horn, all of them were all just a bunch of dudes. And in the first draft, the ending is like, I think his last line is like, I learned to be great as Dorothy, and I gotta learn to do it without the dress. That's kind of the really dumb thing.
Gotta take off the training wheels.
Well, the original line was, I learned to be a good person as Dorothy. Can you help me learn to do it without the dress? And they're like, why does he need a woman's help to become a human being? Like, that is not a responsibility you have to put onto her. And that was a female reading the script and being like, all right, that's a big change you need to make there.
All right, all right. I got a pitch for this, all right? You want to make your woke musical about a person who cross-dresses and pretends to be the other. Do a gender switch of the movie. It's a woman.
Like,
it's a woman dressing as a man to get easier roles.
That's very Shakespearean. Like, I feel like that works a lot better. There's a lot more comedy to be made of it.
And it's already been done, for sure. And, I mean, I don't know what exactly the moral would be, if any. And I don't really give a shit. But at least you wouldn't have this weird subtext where it's like, it's easier for women because, I mean, he gets the job and... easily as a woman, like, no problem. Mm-hmm. And then he becomes so successful, like, instantaneously as a woman, and, like, he couldn't find any of that as a man. And it's like, okay, but you have that subtext, but then you're also trying to throw in, like, lines about, like, oh, feminism, and, oh, don't roast me on Twitter, please. Please don't do that. Please don't say that I'm not woke on Twitter.
Don't tell Andrew he's not woke on Twitter. He'll cry.
Please don't do it. Please.
But no, back to like Tootsie, the producer's hubris on this show. So they had a really successful first couple of weeks. So, and the only show that was really in competition to them and that was new was Beetlejuice, which was floundering pretty well early on. So they bought like 10 months in advance. Like, at that theater, which I don't remember what it was. I think it was, like, the Walter Kerr, maybe? Let me double-check that. Content is great, guys. Like, it's wonderful. The Marquee Theater, I was wrong. But basically, it began in April, and they had it play through January 5th of 2020, which is ridiculous for me to think about, because... at the end, they were just playing to empty houses because Beetlejuice had a sudden resurgence because of how well they performed at the Tonys.
I mean, deservedly, Beetlejuice is funny. You know, in like a family kind of way, But, like, this should have been funny in, like, a family kind of way, but instead it's just kind of... It's just so lame. It's like, it's almost like the jokes want a laugh track, you know?
Well, the thing about the jokes here is I feel like they wanted to be as edgy as Beetlejuice, and say what we will about Beetlejuice, it's a family show that everyone can see, but it has edge to it.
A little bit. It's a little morbid, I suppose.
I think it's like sexually morbid and a little bit darker.
It's got some darker stuff, but I wouldn't say, I mean... Compare that to, like, Book of Mormon, and I don't think it even comes close, but...
I mean, no. Compare that to Avenue Q, and it doesn't come close and all that, too. Yeah. But this, I don't know who... I don't have a musical to compare this to, except maybe Something Rotten, but Something Rotten at least was original.
Something Rotten was original, and it had a... It played a lot of jokes off the setting, which was this strange, like, setting that they were doing, which is, like, Shakespearean, but not really. And that's kind of funny. And this doesn't have anything. This is literally, this could have been Friends the Musical and just drop the stuff with the dress and then, you know, have Ross come out. And
All right, Andrew, since we're talking about the humor in the show, was there anything you found funny?
Dead silence for a second.
Andrew lost all bit of light in his eyes.
I'm, like, trying to actually think of, like, one...
Andrew just finished watching this.
I just watched this, and I'm trying to think of, like, one part. The part, I think, and it was entirely just the guy's performance, but when his agent comes in and sees Dorothy and is like, oh, I'm a big fan, and then he opens the door slow, that was, like, chuckle. Like, oh, I guess that's okay. That was about it.
Can I say, like, and this is a little bit of a spoiler for the song section, but I don't really see myself talking about this as a song.
Go ahead.
But... His female friends, I think her name was Sandy.
It was Annie's dog.
all of her patter songs I thought were really good. Like, where she's just describing her day. Like, those are my kind of humor where it's just like, I thought that was really well done. I think the songs themselves are effective.
I think the music is pretty much okay to, like, slightly above average through the entire show.
Yeah, like, I don't think there's any, like, clunkers in the songs.
No, there was nothing that I'm like, please make this stop, you know?
And even some great musicals have songs that I'm like, all right, this has gone on a bit too long.
Yeah.
Hello, Dolly.
Yeah, Hello, Dolly has a few songs that are, like, 8 minutes long that really don't need to be.
But, yeah, I think that her as a character, she makes me laugh and I find her funny.
She's barely in it, though.
Yeah, I want the musical to be about her. Why isn't this about a struggling actress?
It is. It is about a struggling actress. It's about Dorothy.
Fuck you. I want, like, the best parts of the last 5 years is Kathy trying to be an actress. Like, that is the most fun part of that musical.
It could have been better. I think his friend is sometimes a little funny.
I mean, they won't go too far with him. Like, he has the
He's in it a lot for some reason.
But he has the song where it's just like, you fucked it up, and like, it's just one note. It is one note. There's no development once that is. He is a one note character and a one note, like, songs. Like,
yeah, but he's in it all the time.
Yeah, because Dorothy needs someone to talk to.
Yeah. And that's the problem with these, like, liars.
He's played by my favorite fucking actor in the world in the movie, Bill Murray. You know how much I fucking love Bill Murray, don't you?
I like Bill Murray, but I've never seen
Tootsie. I'm fucking glad you love Bill Murray.
He's really good in, like, Groundhog Day and Ghostbusters, I don't know.
He's fine.
I like him. He's got a very dry delivery. What were you talking about? Jeff?
Yeah.
My name Jeff?
My name's Jeff.
Oh my god. Yeah, he's kind of bland as a character.
Did any of the theatery references, like, make you chuckle? Because I feel like that's, like, the one time they pander to, like, the theater crowd, and none of them were funny.
I mean, the only real theater references I remember is when Dorothy's like, I'm gonna play all the big roles, and they're like, oh, Mama Rose, and oh, whatever.
Yeah, and that's not funny, and I don't know why that's not funny.
It's not funny because it's not a joke. It's just like, those are the big roles. I mean, you're right.
You ain't wrong. Can I just say one thing positive about the storytelling before we move on to a mid-show announcement?
Sure.
I think the emotional moments work really well. I think when it's trying to be sincere, the show is pretty good.
Like when Dorothy, like, mouth kisses Julie for no reason, like, out of nowhere?
No. No, that was bad.
You didn't like that part?
No, I did not
like
that part.
You weren't a fan of that part?
What about the time when Julie comes in and she's like, all right, I'm down to be a lesbian with you. Get your clothes off. Let's have sex.
I mean,
what about that part? I think that is the closest thing the show got to being clever in the book. Where I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't see that coming.
I mean, I totally saw that coming.
Really?
Because it's part of the liar story. Now he has to lie again. What does he do? Now the lie is that he's the woman and that the woman likes it, her, and now she's buying into that lie. So he has to lie again to fix it. And it just plays into the whole lying thing. Anything to force him to have to tell another lie.
I guess. I didn't see it coming because I was like, oh, you're going to want to be with this old, ugly white woman?
I mean, I would.
Really?
What about the guy that tattooed? That was like, they wanted that joke to land, but that was like something out of Drake and Josh.
No, I don't like that.
That is a joke that you'd expect to see on Nickelodeon, like one of their live action shows. It was that lame.
Did you notice that the girl that played Julie was also Sandy from SpongeBob?
I did not notice that. I did not notice that. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, she's really good in the show. I think, like, when she has her moment to tell, like, her sad life story, I think that really works, too. Like, when you give her the bits, like, her and fucking Michael's friend, they hold the show up and make it not complete garbage.
Yeah, but she was better in SpongeBob.
I mean, everything was better in SpongeBob.
SpongeBob was funnier. There was more funny jokes.
Yeah, there was more funny jokes in SpongeBob. SpongeBob actually had set design.
A lot of really good set design. This one had one set, and it was like Jerry Seinfeld's house. It was like I was expecting Kramer to like bust through the door.
Michael, you can't be wearing a dress.
Jerry, what are you doing in here? You gotta take the dress off.
Why do I have to take off my dress?
It's so much easier to get the work.
Then Jerry Seinfeld puts on like a high pitched voice. You like dress?
Is no one wondering why Dorothy is like, you know, a like low tenor when she sings?
There's like actual singers out there that could sound like a female, like John Cozart and like a bunch of other people. They can sing like with a voice. Chris Colfer would have been a good choice, but no, you go for Santino Fontuna, who sounds like I am Prince Hans of the Arendelle.
Yeah.
Did you know he was that guy?
You know what? It's expected. You know, it's fine. Plays the worst.
That's the
plays the
ultimate
worst,
liar revealed story.
I hate. Does he do anything besides lie? This actor is lying to us at all times.
He was on a TV show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. He left after the first season, and then his character comes back again in the fourth season, played by a different actor.
Another lie, huh?
Exactly. And it's like negligible. It's the same fucking performance, just by another bland white actor. Oh, sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but we've got a shill at you. Andrew, talk about Patreon and list our patrons for us.
Patreon is where you can go to donate to us and get a little bit extra content, like full commentaries, after parties for certain episodes, things like that. Our current patrons are Stephanie L., Tarian Needleman, Max Lunick, Benjamin Lira, Lily Ackles, Mackenzie Horner, John Donna, Taryn the Duck, Melissa Goldman, Jess Lightning, Ewan Cassidy, Haley McDonald, Tess Gear, Cullen McLeod, Fire September, Mina Maniri, Monica Thoreau, Brent Black, Haley Murray, pardon me, Alice in Wonderland, B-Way Flicks, Michael Johan, Nathaniel Stanley, Stacey Coombe, Joseph Evans Green, Luna Rocks 222, Uragel Dro Witter, pardon me, that's a harder one. William Want and Carrie Ahern, we love you all. Even if I can't pronounce your name, I still love you on a fundamental level.
You know,
level.
When you guys become our patrons, you should send us like a pronunciation guide.
Don't actually do that. It's funnier if I pronounce it wrong.
It 100% is. Except if you're Mina Maniri. She doesn't like that.
I'm sorry, Moroni.
the Angel Moroni. But these folks give us a little extra financial support that helps us keep the lights on here at Musicals with Cheese. If you'd like to join them in supporting us and get tons of fun perks such as patron-only commentaries or episodes a day early or even earlier, come join us over at Patreon. All right, Andrew, you ready to get back to the show?
Yes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Calendar inside your head is running out of pages. What do you do if you can see the odds are good? You'll never be the person you've been trying for ages. Is it luck? Is it fate? Is it something that you ate? Like an overwhelming plate of humble pie. What do you do when everything you wanted more than life itself is laughing at you, calling you a jerk? What do? You make it work. You do when everything is happening, but everything is happening to everybody but you. All of the phonies, frauds, and fakes are getting jobs and getting breaks and eating steaks, but nobody will touch you. Are you haunted by the fact? All you want to do is act, and it's all you want to do until you die. Bashing away at the same old door, your arms are tired, your fists are sore, the patience you've got left is wearing thin. What do? You kick it in.
So what do you think about Michael's god-awful I Want song, which is What Do You Do?
I'm struggling to even recall.
It is, like, the most plant. Like, if I didn't... It is the song that I would use to, like, sum up the sound in my head when I think of male hubris, which is, like, this bouncy, like, almost militaristic number. Like, what do you do when you gotta do these things? Oh, what do you do when do-do-do-do? I'm gonna dress up like a woman. Dress up like a woman.
It's not very good.
It isn't, and I don't understand his want aside from, like, I'm gonna do what
he wants to be an actor.
Do.
He wants to be a successful actor.
Successful, like, not good. Like, the thing is he a good actor is the question.
We never really see him act. I guess
we do when he's Dorothy.
Unless you consider him pretending to be Dorothy to be acting, in which case you do. But I would not call that acting. I would call that lying.
What is the difference between acting and lying?
Acting, the people watching you know that you're pretending to be something. Lying, you don't tell them. It's like,
would you consider Andy Kaufman's work acting or lying?
It's acting because you know what he's doing on some level.
On some level, okay.
Yeah, whereas if he went out in public and just on the sidewalk walked up to somebody and just started doing that, then it would be...
Bit of diarrhea on their face.
Yeah, it would be a little different, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess. But I don't... The thing is, with usual characters, let's take Once on This Island, because we just did that.
Yeah.
That character of Timun, you understand what she wants, why she wants it, and all that nonsense. And she's also very compelling and all that, and we want to see her be successful. What do we want to see of Michael? What do we want to see of Michael to be successful?
I want to see Michael come over to my house and stomp these dogs' heads in.
I mean, fair.
What do we want to see Michael be successful?
Like, why do we want to see Michael be successful? It's one thing to have a protagonist we don't like and we want to see fail. But in the end, he doesn't fail is the thing.
Yeah. So it's like the very first scene you see him, he's already kind of just being a pretentious douche. You know, the first scene you see him, he's like, oh, well, I gave my character a backstory and he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't even be singing this song. It's like, just shut up. Just go away.
I feel like this musical is trying to have a framework very similar to Groundhog Day, the musical, not the movie, because fuck Bill Murray, where even in that one, even if we don't like Phil Connors as a character, we understand he doesn't want to be stuck in the middle of the cold. He wants to be back at home doing his easy work. Like, on a spiritual level, we all kind of get that, even though we don't really love Phil Connors as a person. Michael... We don't all, like, ruin all of our relationships and then blame other people for it. Psychopaths do that, and so do internet personalities, and nobody else.
Yeah, and I mean, psychopaths and internet personalities are basically the same thing, so...
Yes, especially if you're... Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you run a podcast about musical theater, like we
exactly.
do.
Exactly, exactly.
We're both terrible.
We're both, like, we're Patrick Bateman-ing it up. We just look at ourselves.
I go out on the street and I tell people, you don't have a podcast. I can't relate to you. And then I stab them to death.
How many patrons do you have supporting you? If they have anything less than us, I kill them. And if they have anything more than us, I also kill them.
Because I'm jealous.
Give me your trust. I give you my word. I won't let you down. Remember my voice, I won't let you down. Just give it some thought. I love you a lot. I won't let you down. I won't let you down.
How about we talk about the big song, the one that they used to market the fuck out of the show? I Won't Let You Down, which they frame as like this very, like this big moment for Dorothy as a character, but really it's just an audition piece.
Yeah, it's like in High School Musical when they sing bop, 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 bop to the top.
Or Breakin' Free.
Or Breakin' Free. Or really any other song in High School Musical, because really none of them are sung plot-wise. So
Get Your Head in the Game.
Fair, that's one.
I thought you were my fairy tale, a dream when I'm not sleeping. That's
it's a jungle out there.
It is. You listen to the commentary, guys. You're missing out.
But yeah, this is literally, she just comes in. Well, he just comes in. He never actually identifies as a woman, so it's always a he, right?
No, he is not transgender. He is a he. He is a fucking imposter.
He's an imposter. Asshole. He's the worst. Michael Dorsey is a monster. But then he just switched his names. How does nobody see that?
Okay, so are you Delilah Andrews?
I mean, I suppose that's probably what I would end up as, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we're doing what he did, which is just take his last name, make it kind of feel like a lady's name. So Delilah Matthew, or Delilah Andrews.
I want to take my middle name, John, and put that in the front, and then do Julie, and I'd be Julie Andrews.
Julie? Man, I'm sure unions would have no problem with that whatsoever.
Well, not after I tell them my middle name, Andrea.
No. What you should do is you should just call yourself, go by your first syllable, you take the and then you put Vanessa and Hudgens between it, and then you got Vanessa and Hudgens. So yeah, I Won't Let You Down is a pointless song and it has no plot relevance, yet they still frame it as if it's like this really impressive number because Santino Fantuna has to go up there and sing in a high register.
It's weird that this woman sings entirely in falsetto.
I won't let you down. I can do it.
Yeah, there's not really much to say about that song other than...
There's another thing. Like, the reason why Mrs. Doubtfire kind of works, and I know this is really, like, ridiculous to bring up, is because Robin Williams is kind of a chubbier, squishy man, just in general. He's a short, squishy guy.
It's easier to mold that fat into what you want it to be.
Whereas Santino Fortuna, he's like this really built, like, really strong, muscular guy. Then you just put, like, lady tits on him, and he's just, like, a really insanely, like, ripped lady.
Yeah.
In, a granny dress.
With a, chiseled chin. Like, yeah. Does nobody mention that?
You have such a strong chin. You know that, Dorothy?
Dorothy, you have a very, very strong chin.
Dorothy, are you seeing anyone later tonight? Because you got that strong chin. I could use that to open up a couple of bottles at a party tonight.
There's just something about ladies, you know? You get that nice body and then that sexy goatee.
I mean, Andrew, if you just shaved your goatee, I bet you'd be more passable as a lady than fucking...
You better believe it.
Yeah, I mean...
I've gotten the ladies on my date nights before. You know, the waitress walks over and says, "Ladies, how can oh?"
I used to get that back when I was, like, on YouTube and had the really long blonde hair, like, all the time. A miss, miss.
And then you turn around and say, "What do you need?" And then they have, like, a heart attack.
They have a seizure and die.
Played carousel on the road for the winter. From April to June, I toured Cabaret, then Mother Courage in stock in New England all summer. And John tried to call almost every day. He told me he wanted some kids and a wife. And that's when I realized this is my life. I made my choice, but I never expressed it. And when I got home, can you guess?
Yeah, I guessed it.
John was gone. Everything on the left of the closet was gone. His electric guitar and his amp and his car were gone. Just poof. There I was standing under a roof alone. And yes, my heart was almost broken. But I'd made my choice and I'd make it again.
I want to talk about There Was John really briefly. I think this song really works. I think this song as like a good description of why Julie does what she does.
It's Julie's backstory.
It's not even her backstory. It's her value set, which is I had this guy. I liked him a lot, but I wanted to do acting more. And you know what? When I came back, he wasn't there. And fuck him. Now I get to live in a dressing room and do what I like. And it's framed as a positive thing. And it's very rare to see, like, hey, a woman working really hard framed positively, and it's not just something she has to overcome. That was good. I'm trying not to give the show too much credit, but as far as credit goes, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of the songs are, like,
bad.
Really bad, but it's like, I'm trying to think of anything that really stood out to me in this. Really, not much. I mean, what is the Act One closer?
Unstoppable. I know that one.
Yeah.
That one's good.
It's like, but like, what is it? I don't know. It doesn't seem like when they close Act One, it doesn't really seem like there's any big moment that like needs to be resolved in Act Two.
I disagree.
It's just that he kisses her, which is weird, right?
It was really weird. It's like sexual assault levels of weird.
Yeah. I mean, it is sexual assault. Just because he's dressed as a woman and everyone thinks he's a woman doesn't mean it's not sexual assault.
Yeah, I'm sexually assaulted by guys. I don't like it. It's not
fun. It's not. It just because they're the same gender doesn't mean that they're not sexual
intentions
assault.
On you that aren't unwanted are suddenly welcomed.
Yeah, so it's not. That was, you know.
Would name another musical that ends with a like cliffhanger of a sexual assault.
I mean, I'm sure there is one.
Oh, I am too, and I'm trying to rack my brain for it. I know the ending of Act 1 of Falsettos ends with, like, spousal abuse.
I mean, what about, like Oklahoma? Doesn't the guy in the ballet kind of do it?
I mean, that's a dream.
It's a dream, but it's in there.
Yeah, I guess. Great content we got here.
Oklahoma's better than this.
What? I mean, yeah.
All right.
Can I talk about one more number? And I think that's really all we need to talk about.
Sure.
Once again, it's another moment where I think that the emotions work pretty well.
Sure.
And that is Talk to Me, Dorothy, where Michael just looks in the mirror and asks the advice from the woman he's been playing. Like, you are a better person than I am. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And he basically ends with, like, I gotta stop being you and learn to, like, make myself as good as you are. And
now, he realizes that he is Dorothy already, right?
It's not like a Jekyll and Hyde thing, no. It's more like a metaphorical storytelling thing.
You're a better person than me. This scarecrow...
Is that Pee Wee Herman?
This scarecrow I built that is entirely built from lies is a better person than the real me.
The scarecrow I built of lies? I mean, that is a fair description of what he has done. I mean, I don't think there's a better way to sum it up. It's better than Jeff sums it up.
Not long ago, there was a man, an angry guy, awkwardly aging, committed, but kind of self-destructive, winding his way through life till ambition and circumstance conspired to deliver an opportunity no one except a megalomaniacal actor with nothing to really lose would consider. So then, of course, this guy puts, oh yeah, this guy is you, in case you were wondering, puts on a dress and wig and heels and actually gets the part, and surprisingly, everything goes very well. But then, and how do I say it? You fucked it up. You really fucked it up. You got applause, you got the fame, except it wasn't exactly for you. And now you're in love with a girl who thinks you're somebody that you're not. And in case you forgot, I'll tell you who you really are. You're the guy who fucked it up. You really fucked it up. Listen, Mike, I know when Mr. Opportunity comes tiptoeing and teasing, you're the kind of man who grabs him by the ball.
How does Jeff sum it up?
You fucked it up. You really fucked it up.
Oh yeah, that's like the opening of Act 2.
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do with the plot, which I guess is fine.
Jeff is like the character that's supposed to be like, he's
funny one.
He's funny and he's straight to the point and down to earth. But it's just like he doesn't really do anything.
No, a real friend would be like, you're not going the fuck outside. You're staying here and you're get this shit out of your head and just like smack the shit out of him too. He's like, stop it. Stop it.
Here's what you're going to do to solve this Dorothy problem. Don't ever do it again. Ever.
Ever. It was a mistake and you should feel bad.
Yeah. And if anyone calls asking where Dorothy is, you answer and
she died.
She dies. She's dead. She's gone forever.
I killed her.
Because, I mean, what kind of friend lets their friend just continue to dig a hole for themselves like this?
I mean, you've probably done it before to me. I mean, I dig myself into a lot of stupid holes.
I don't think so. I mean, there was that one time where, well, we won't go into that.
Not on mic.
Jess, please, let's not talk about that.
Okay. But no, I think that moment is done pretty well.
You mean Jeff sums it up?
No, not that moment. Not... Talk to Me, Dorothy. Because that's like, oh, I get the emotions here and I think it's effective.
Yeah. What's your overall thoughts on this? Because honestly, I don't think I have anything left to say.
I think that this musical is bad. I don't think that it's not without merit, but I think it's very, very bad, unhealthy, unproductive, and just overall piss poor effort.
I think it's very, very bland. It's extremely, like, you know, white bread, nothing special going on, just bare bones, easy watching. And I think if you are, and I don't think this is anyone in our audience, but if you are over 50 years old and want to fall asleep in a theater and have the money to spend, this is probably the perfect thing to watch.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You might wake up and chuckle like once and then fall back asleep, you know? It's that it's that kind of show. You know, like if you fall asleep and then you wake up and you're like, "Oh, that's a man in a dress." And then you fall back asleep, you know?
This is like the blandest minstrel show I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's just okay. I mean, as far as a cheese rating, I think the only cheese I could possibly give it is like one of those Kraft singles. You know, it's like, yeah, it's wrapped up in plastic and it tastes like rubber.
You know what? I'm going to go a little more extravagant.
Doesn't deserve it, Jess. It doesn't deserve it, Jess.
Yeah, I deserve it. I'm good enough. After watching Tootsie, I deserve a little bit of something good.
Sure.
So I am giving this cheesecake made of Tootsie rolls, which is a real thing.
I mean, that's fantastic, but I don't think that this show deserves cheesecake. I think this show deserves maybe like grilled cheese at best.
Grilled cheese with a Tootsie roll put in the center of it.
Yeah. But you know, you can give a cheesecake with Tootsies. I mean, that's funny. I get the pun, Jess.
You do? Did you like the pun?
I get the pun.
You get the pun?
I understand your joke.
Andrew, since we're here, how would you Muppetize this?
All right, Muppetize. Let's see. Julie, Miss Piggy.
Obvious. Wait, maybe Michael should be Miss Piggy.
Michael, I think, is Kermit.
Yeah, he is the type to get himself in too deep.
He gets in
and
too
Jeff
deep.
And Jeff is Gonzo.
Jeff is Fozzie.
Yeah, all right. Okay,
Jeff is Fozzie.
The pieces are coming together.
Gonzo is the director. He's like out on the stage. He's like, I'm great and I'm awesome, and he's got his like big thing.
More explosions, more cannonballs.
Yeah, and then he's got like chickens all around him.
And he doesn't understand why people find Dorothy so attractive because she's not a chicken.
Sandy, I don't know who Sandy is.
She's the funny friend girl who is a friend.
I know who she is. I don't know who the Muppet would be.
Why don't we have that be celebrity actress?
That could be a celebrity guest. I could see that. Who's friends with Kermit and Fozzie, and she comes over and
yeah, like hi guys, and it's Ashanti or something.
Yeah, and then I also think the person who tattoos their chest is also a celebrity guest.
Yeah, that'd be Steve Martin or something. He's just so in love with Kermit.
Yeah. and then the producer character. Honestly, I would probably cast that as someone kind of scary, like an Uncle Death kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd see that. And then the agent.
That's a celebrity.
That's also, I think that's also a celebrity guest.
That's Molly Shannon or something.
Like anybody who has like two scenes is a celebrity usually, you know?
Exactly. Like they can pop up every now and then. It's Queen Latifah or David Alan Greer or something like that. Jeffrey Tambor.
And I think that this one, I think we can fully cast. I think that's the Muppetization I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I think that would be good. No, I'd watch that. I think it would be more entertaining than what we got.
Yeah. Now, I'm just wondering when we get Glenn or Glenda the musical, you know?
Honestly, Ed Wood the musical, like, because I don't think you can do, like, a full, like, Glenn or Glenda musical. There's not enough content there.
There's not much content at all.
No, but you could do, like, how Ed Wood does, and you could have, like, a Bride of the Atom, Glenn or Glenda, and Plan 9 musical, where it's, like, three chunks.
Yeah, I could see, like, maybe, like, an episodic kind of thing. Like, have, like a three-act structure of some way, and then have it be different shows.
And each time you actually have Ed Wood come out and pitch it to you, all right, guys, here's what's gonna happen. It's a little cheaper than I expected, but you gotta imagine it. Like, an octopus. A big octopus.
Yeah, I'd watch that. That'd be fun.
I don't think that'd, like, break any records or anything, but I'd see that.
If it's funny enough, it might, but, yeah.
Well, the thing is, you can't beat the Ed Wood movie.
Yeah, but
I would watch a musical of The Room, though. I think that actually is ripe for being a musical.
I think the problem with that would be it's going to be hard to put that kind of dialogue into song and have it still be funny.
No, you'd take it word for word, and the songs would just expand on one line of dialogue, kind of like how a Who's line is it anyway? They got to stop and turn the last line of dialogue into a song.
Yeah.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
All right. This Tootsie is so bland, we're not even talking about it anymore. That's how...
But do you know who isn't bland?
Our patrons are definitely not bland.
No, they are not. Thank you guys for watching us. They are the best types of cheese. You are incredible. I love you all so much. Here's a kiss. From both your musical theater daddies over here.
Musical theater daddies. I'm like that. That's good.
Yeah, call us your musical theater daddies.
Don't call us that.
You got Daddy Andrew and you got Daddy Jess over here. Come sit on our lap.
Just call me Daddy Warbucks.
Because he'll pay your abortion. Either way, thank you guys for listening to us. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, at Musicals with Cheese. Our Twitter is at Cheesy Musicals. Our Patreon is Musicals with Cheese. Our Instagram is Musicals with Cheese. Our YouTube page is Musicals with Cheese. Shoot us an email at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Our title card was created by the absolutely incredible, the fantabulous, the wonderful Jolene Casco. Go follow her on Instagram at Jolene Casco. All right, Andrew, is there anything else that Delilah Andrews has to say before we wrap this on up?
No, I think that's about it.
What are you doing after the show here, Delilah? You seeing anyone right now?
No, I'm going back to being a man.
What? All right, guys, we'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.